Welcome to Faith Fellowship on this last Sunday of November. And hadn't this year flown by? Hadn't been a fun year, but it's been a year. This morning, we're going to talk about the adventure of a lifetime. That sounds like some movie trailer, doesn't it? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 37. We're going to read verse 25. Psalm 37. 25. And while you're turning there, let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us. May your Holy Spirit enlighten what I say. Lord, may it be the word from you. May we receive it as a word from you. May it change us and help us, Lord, to be all that you would have us be. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 37 is a psalm of David. And in verse 25, David said, I have been young, and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. David is at the end of his life, and he's reflecting on his life, looking back over his life as someone would toward the end of their life. He's an old man. He's wrinkled, he's white-headed. He's not the young boy he was when he killed Goliath. And he's had some good times and he's had some bad times. He's had some mountaintops and he's had some valleys like all of us. And yet in the summation of his life, he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I've never seen them begging for bread. You know, we have a heritage as children of God through Jesus Christ, and we can embrace that heritage, and we can be confident that our life is an adventure. It's an adventure of mountaintops and valleys, but it's an adventure. It's not something to be feared or to be dreaded. It's not something to hang our head and gasp a sigh of despair. We are the children of the living God, and He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. Amen? Now, as the Lord dropped this into my spirit, He began to, and this is when I was building my tent garage this week, and He began to remind me that, you know, we like adventures. We like to root for these adventurous movies. Some of the movies that came to mind is Journey to the Center of the Earth. How many of you ever seen the old Jules Verne? You know, and they're going down and they have all these perilous things happen, but somehow they all get down there and they all come out at the end. Amen. Or the Swiss Family Robinson. Man, I love that movie when I was young. You know, and the pirates coming on the island, the old Disney one, and they make these homemade weapons of coconuts and logs. You know, to fight the pirates. And of course, who can forget Raiders of the Lost Ark, when that giant bowling ball type boulder is rolling toward Indy and you think, oh my gosh, we've never seen anything like that in the movies. Or the Poseidon Adventure. You know, when I was, I don't remember what grade I was in, we were living in West Tulsa. I would come here to visit my cousins, and they had, how many of you guys remember, Rick's been around here a while, they had a movie theater this side of town by the old Pepsi plant. And we went and saw, my cousin Debbie and I, we went and saw the Poseidon Adventure that weekend four times in one weekend. And then, of course, dun-dun-dun-dun, Star Wars. And then the Call of the Wild, you know? I mean, trapped under, falling through the ice, wolves chasing you. These are adventures, right? And so when we see these movies, we're on the edge of our seat, we're rooting for the good guy. And somehow yet we know he's going to make it. You know, he's Indiana Jones. They're going to make it. But they're in peril. But they're going to make it. And so all of these movies promise one thing: the adventure of a lifetime. You know, on the screen, come see, you know, Raiders of the Lost, the adventure of a lifetime. And this is what David was saying. He's saying, you know, I look back over my life, and it's been an adventure of a lifetime because God is in control. Amen. Now, when we root for the good guys in the movie and we see the peril, it's fun because it's fun and it's scary because we know they're going to make it. But the reason why we don't have that same attitude is we think sometimes we're not going to make it. We hang our head and the tears come down and we feel like God's abandoned us. And yet David said, don't think like that, because I'm at the end of my life and I got news for you. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. And so why don't we believe that as Christians? Why don't we stand on that? Why don't we walk that out and say, you know what? This is the adventure of a lifetime. So we thrill at the giant boulder coming toward him as Indy runs from that thing. Shouldn't we also thrill in times of peril in our own life? Shouldn't we also say, you know, this is scary right now, but bless God, this is the adventure of a lifetime, because I know my Father said, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you. And so it's an adventure of a lifetime. When we look at the Bible, we see that Abram, before he was named Abraham, in Genesis 12, the Lord said to him, get up and go to a country far from your kindred and from your father's house to a land I'll show you, and I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless you and curse those that curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then when we jump down to verse 10, it says there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now he's going down there, and he looks to his wife, and he goes, you know, you are one foxy-looking chick. You didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? That's my paraphrase version. He said, when all those Egyptians see what a foxy-looking chick, they're going to kill me to get you. So I want you to say that you're my sister. Remember the story? What are you thinking? You know, he's called the father of faith. And listen to him. You know, that encourages me, because if he's the father of faith, bless God, I got hope. Because he didn't have a lot of faith then, did he? He's telling her to lie and say he's her sister. And they get down there, and old Pharaoh about takes her in her harem until, I guess, she tells him. It doesn't really tell how he found out. And he's like, what are you trying to do to me, man? And all these plagues came on him because of that. And so they sent him out of Egypt under armed escort because of that. Now, why are you saying that, Brother Roger? I'm saying that because Abram, the father of faith, did not trust God. When we talk about the adventure of a lifetime, it can be an adventure of a lifetime every day, whether you're on the mountaintop or you're in the valley, if you will just trust God. Amen? God wants us to trust Him in the good times and in the bad times. And God made us promise. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He said, no weapon formed against you can prosper. He said, you'll be the head and not the tail. He says, I'm with you even to the end of the earth. And Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. You know what that is? That's an adventure of a lifetime, church. That's right. This is what it's all about. It's being a Christian on the good times and the bad times, and believing and trusting God regardless of the circumstance. Because I got good news. I heard it from the source. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. And so it's just a test. Test of faith, of trust in God's promises. If God's promises are true, if they're yes and amen, sounds like last Sunday's sermon, then we have to respond this way. Wow. You know what this is? This is an adventure of a lifetime. It's an adventure of a lifetime. So, let me tell you about my week. It was a week of rocks and wind. Rocks and wind. You know, I thought Tahlequah had the rockiest soil. And when I was in Fort Gibson, it was very easy to dig, but in my new place, it was also like Tahlequah. It was full of rocks. And I was putting up this tent garage, and it had these 1 foot long anchors I had to put in the ground with a big spiral at the bottom, a corkscrew at the bottom, and I'm digging and hammering and hitting rocks. And I'm sweating, which, you know, this old fat boy isn't used to doing very often. But the Lord is pouring this sermon in me at the same time. And so in a desperate act to try to get these anchors in the ground, I walked in and I got my drill with this big old honking mason bit, and I decided I'm just going to drill in the ground with this and see if it'll help me. And as I'm coming out with this drill, I start smiling. And I look up and I say, Father, thank you. This is an adventure of a lifetime. You know, drilling and trying to get through rocks. You know, there was a time before the Lord dropped this in my spirit, I would have been murmuring and complaining. And we've got to guard against the murmuring and complaining, because whether we're on the mountain or in the valley, whether the soil is fertile or full of rocks, it's still the adventure of a lifetime, because God is in it. Amen. And you know, we wouldn't be the people we are, the people of God we are, if it wasn't for the rocks in our life, if it wasn't for the resistance. You know, the reason why guys have muscles is because they have resistance. They push weights, or they run, or they do sit-ups, right? And God gives us rocks to make us stronger and more spiritual and more godly, to trust Him in the valleys of our life and hold our head up high and say, thank you, Father. This is just an adventure of a lifetime for me. And then, as if the rocks weren't bad enough, then once I got the frame up and the two fronts up, I had this huge, huge, huge canopy of a tarp that I had to put up over a 9-foot peak and back over. And there's guys there that are putting up my fence at the same time. And he says to me, I saw you struggling. Well, I thought, well, why didn't you come over and help me? I felt like Laurel and Hardy fighting this gigantic tent. And when I finally got it over, I'm, oh, Lord, this is an adventure of a lifetime. And so we look at these Bible heroes like David. You know, David's life wasn't perfect. David wasn't perfect himself. He went from being a hero of a giant killer and a killer of the Philistines. Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. He was at the pinnacle of his career as king of Israel, and then came Bathsheba. And he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then to cover his sins, he had her husband sent to the front line and pulled back and killed Uriah the Hittite. And Nathan the prophet pointed his bony finger and said, David, thou art the man. And you know, God may forgive our sins, but He won't not punish us for our sins. And then there's Esther, who was called into the kingdom for such a time as this, and was afraid to go to the king and expose Haman, because if he didn't lower that scepter, her head would have been cut off immediately. But her uncle told her, you know, if you don't do this, God will raise up somebody else. But who knows whether you're not called into the kingdom for such a time as this. And then there's Paul, who reminds us that he was chased by wild animals and beaten almost to death and spent days in the ocean, you know, floating on boards. Talk about an adventure of a lifetime. And I hope my adventure isn't quite like that. But whatever we face it not alone. We face it with the God who holds the universe in the span of His hands. And so we can proudly proclaim, God is with me. So this is still an adventure of a lifetime. And now we have the pandemic, as if that's not enough. And a man either lives his life as it happens to him and meets it head on, or he turns his back on it and starts to wither away. You know, many people ask me, why don't you wear a mask more often? I would rather face life living than die before I come. It's an adventure of a lifetime, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be responsible, but let's live, because God is in control. Amen. You know, when we talk about these things, we have to remind ourselves what Jesus said. He said, your Father in heaven knows how many hairs are on your head. He sees a little sparrow when he falls. Look at the lilies. They're clothed. They didn't have to worry about, did they have money for clothing? They're more beautiful than Solomon in all of his splendor. And don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. He said, trust in your Father in heaven. And that's how we can say this is an adventure of a lifetime. Because we can trust God. We can really trust Him. He will take care of us in every chapter of our life. You know, in Joshua's conquest against the kings in the book of Joshua, when they're chasing these kings, there's a hailstorm that comes. and the hailstones only hit the bad guys. Think about that. You might say, well, what a coincidence that is. It's not a coincidence. That's the God I'm talking about. We can run through life with joy and confidence regardless of the circumstance because God knows who His children are. It's an adventure of a lifetime. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now then, there's also the deer. Man, I've had an adventure this last month. I mean, I'm driving along, minding my own business. A guy comes up behind me. I got to get back in the right lane. I look over, turn around, and my eyes catch for a fraction of a second a deer going, right? Bam! Blood all over the windshield. Looks like Freddy Krueger was there. And I'm like, what just happened? Adventure of a lifetime. I know. I know. And yet, in all of that, I got a new car. I got a garage to put it in. I this week I got my fence up. I'm blessed. You know, whatever the devil means for evil, God can turn it to good. If you will just stop whining, complaining, and despairing, focus your eyes past the horizon on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, square your shoulders and say, bless God, I'm a child of God, and I'm living the adventure of a lifetime. You know, we're living in the last days. We all know it's the last days. We see it. I read an article the other day that said, you know, about the inoculation vaccine against the pandemic, against the virus. They said, you know, they were not going to make it mandatory, but if you haven't gotten it, you won't be able to shop at Amazon and you won't be able to bank and you won't be able to do this. In other words, you won't be able to buy or sell. Doesn't that sound familiar? And so we can connect the dots and we see exactly where we're at on the last day's horizon. And some people might get freaked out. But you know what? I'm reminded of what Jesus told at His first coming. He said, many prophets long to see what you guys see today. And I think if Jesus was here today, He would say the same things to you and I. He would say, don't get freaked out. Many people, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, they long to see what you guys are seeing today. It is the twilight before the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Brother Roger? This is not a time to be scared. It's a time to say, this is an adventure of a lifetime, and we get to live it. When Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree, He told him, you know, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. And Nathanael said, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. And Jesus replied, verily I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What was Jesus saying there? He was saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. And you know, I believe that as we get closer to the rapture of the church, I believe the Holy Spirit is about to pour out a last day outpouring on the church, but it'll be the church that is facing the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil. It won't be the church that's hiding in their homes. It won't be the church that's afraid to speak out. It'll be the salt church and the light church and the glorious church without spot or wrinkle and the church that recognizes it's not a time to be fearful. It's not a time to despair. It's not a time to run and hide because you ain't seen nothing yet. We are the glorious church. We are the last day church. And church, this is an adventure of a lifetime for us. We need to embrace it. We need to get excited and recognize what God is doing. Amen.
Amen.
Paul told the Colossians in chapter 2, I would that you know what great conflict I have for you, for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding and to the acknowledgement of the mysteries of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. As you've therefore, verse 6, if you therefore receive Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen. We are saved. We are redeemed. Our name is written in heaven. So go ahead and just walk in it, church. Just go ahead and walk as a child of the living God. Go ahead and walk in the victory that we have in Him, established in faith, abounding in thanksgiving. Praise God. Amen. Now let's just stop for a minute here. Because this is one of those Sunday morning sermons where you just go, man, that was good. And I'm not saying that because I'm preaching. I'm saying it because it's the Word. But next week you may have a valley. Next week you may have a time of loneliness. And you got to get this past your head and into your heart, because it's still the adventure of a lifetime. You're going to have rocks, and you're going to have wind, and you're going to have wild animals come at your car. You're going to have problems. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Jesus said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, it's going to be smooth sailing, now your names are written in heaven. He said, no. He said, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have problems, but be of good cheer. You're going to have heartache, but be of good cheer. You're going to have despair, but be of good cheer. What's he saying? It's going to be the adventure of a lifetime. Just go ahead and trust God. Just go ahead and embrace it. Just go ahead and get happy. Go ahead and shout. When I walked off of that porch with that drill in my hand, I was physically exhausted. And when I looked up and said, Father, this is the adventure of a lifetime, you know what I felt? I felt a supernatural joy and peace pass through me. You see, if we can just get this in our spirit and walk in it, it's the thing that pulls us out of the valleys. You know, they say attitude is everything, and that's what I'm talking about. Having an attitude of gratitude, having an attitude of victory, having an attitude of thanksgiving, and when you do that, everything will change. You know, we can't be salt and light if we are as depressed as the world. We can't be salt and light if we are as discouraged as the world. You know, long before there was refrigeration, salt was a precious commodity. They used it to preserve the meat. Back in the days of the Roman days, they even paid some of the Roman centurions in salt. That's where the term comes, he's not worth his salt, because he got paid in salt. And so, if we are to be the salt of the earth, that preserving force in the world, then we need to start looking like it, and we need to start acting like it. And the only way we can do it is with an attitude of gratitude, recognizing that everything we do is an adventure, because we've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Now, James tells us, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a man is perfect and able to bridle his whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and turn about in their whole body. And behold, a ship which is so great are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned with a very small rudder wherever the captain wants it to go. And even so, the tongue is a little member that boasts great things, and behold how great a matter of little fire is kindled. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and so is the tongue among our members that defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. I said that to say, because when I say this is the adventure of a lifetime, though I may not feel it at the time, I am using my tongue to lift me up and not lift me down. The tongue can either heal or it can cut. It can either encourage me, or my own confessions can destroy me. And maybe the reason we don't always experience the abundant life that Jesus spoke of is because of our confession. I see many Christians confessing their problems rather than the Word of God. Can I say that again? I see many Christians confessing their problem rather than the Word of God. And yet David said, I was young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. It's the adventure of a lifetime. Now, I talked about all those adventure movies, and you thought I wasn't going to mention Star Trek. In Star Trek Generations, the movie that connects the old to the new, when Captain Kirk was under the bridge instead of on the bridge, and the blood was coming out of his mouth, he said, "It was fun." Don't you want to live your life like Captain Kirk? I mean, can't we just say, "It was fun"? You know, yes, I had this problem, and yes, I went through this valley. But that was his two words, or three words, "It was fun," is basically what David was saying. I had all these problems, but it was an adventure of a lifetime. Now, just bear with me here. So, the one thing that that these adventure movies have that maybe we don't have is excuse me here. Theme song. That's the Indiana Jones theme song. So they have, you know, they have their music, right? And then, of course, you know, who could forget this one here? That one was much louder. Sorry about the volume. Do you know what this one is? It's like, name that tune. What is it? Star Wars. There you go. Trust the Force, Luke. Trust the Lord. Right? So they had their theme songs. So this is our theme song. And if you know it, sing it with me. On nothing less than Jesus'
love and righteousness, I dare not trust the sweetest frame.
Sing it along.
But holy lean on Jesus' name.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Let's sing this together. His oath. His oath, his covenant. His
We're going to let this play, but I want to just invite anybody here. If you need prayer this morning, maybe you're going through a valley. You say, "Well, Brother Roger, that sounds good, but I'm not like you. I don't know that I can trust Jesus in my valley." You can, because the Holy Spirit will help you trust Him. He didn't leave us comfortless. He went to heaven to send the Holy Spirit that will give you the grace to go through the darkest valleys of life. He sent His Holy Spirit to give you the grace and the help to live life as an adventure and to trust Him in every area of your life. So if you want to come forward for prayer, you can. And if not, I will go ahead and lead us in prayer. Thank you for coming. I appreciate everybody here. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You today for Your presence here. We thank You, Lord, that life can be challenging and can be hard. It's full of mountaintop experiences and deep, dark valleys. And we know that we are to be light and salt, but sometimes life can be hard. We need Your help. I'd like to just take a minute with every head bowed and eye closed, and I promise I'm not going to embarrass you or ask you to come forward. If maybe you're having trouble living the life of an adventure, having trouble trusting God, just slip your hand up and back down and let me pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? All right. We had a couple hands, and if you're watching by Facebook and that's you, then God bless you. Then this prayer is for you. Lord, You know the people. The Bible says we have not because we ask not, and there's been people who've raised their hands, And they've said, pray for me, preacher, because I'm having trouble trusting God right now. And so I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you send the power of your Holy Spirit to comfort them and to strengthen them so that they can trust you and they can live this life, this adventurous life in Christ, who has paid his supreme price to redeem us, to take us into his fellowship, into his family, and to make us part of his own. We know, Lord, that the promises of God are sure, that when you said you'd never leave us, you meant it. When David testified he's never seen the righteous forsaken, it's true. You will never forsake us. But Lord, our problem is trusting you. And so, again, send your Holy Spirit that we would trust you, that we would go ahead and just acknowledge that we are trusting you to see us through. And as we do, we know that your Holy Spirit will wrap us in a warm blanket of God's love and see us through and change us and help us to recognize what an adventure being a Christian really is. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We'll get you trained for